Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I hope we have memorized this. At one time, I did memorize it. I want to read it, though, making sure that we have word for word right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Who can you trust today? Friends, family, neighbors, co-workers, teachers, parents, children? Can you trust the internet? Can you trust Facebook? I've read that many Canadians are quitting Facebook. And actually by the droves. Because even yesterday I saw someone that we know, a pastor's wife, on Facebook, who apparently had posted something, or sometimes when you press like on something that you see, then it automatically posts on your public thing and everybody can see it. And somebody had posted something on her timeline that was very inappropriate. And so she had to have this long explanation that somebody had hacked into her account and this was not her, this didn't come from her, and she apologized for it. That is painful. Who can you trust? Target store. You go and purchase with your credit card and 110 million customers, their information was breached. Can you trust technology today? And I read more things about that the government can actually spy on every cell phone and every text message that you send. They can read it if they want to. Can you trust? Now, I read a sentence: when we build up trust with relationships, like in a marriage, in family, friendship circles, even in church. Warren Buffett said this: it takes 20 years, and I would say sometimes more, to build a reputation, and only 5 minutes to ruin it. If you think about that, you'll do things differently, he says. For years and years it takes to build up trust. It can all be gone in one minute. This happens in marriages all over the world today. Years and years, they trust each other, husband and wife. One day the husband or the wife decides to cheat. And once that trust is broken, it's nearly impossible to gain it back. I advised a husband once who had an alcoholic problem, who complained to me that his wife doesn't trust him. I said, now, how many times have you disappointed her? How many times have you promised her, I will never drink again, and you broke that promise over and over and over and over again? But she doesn't want to forgive me. I said, forgiveness is one thing, but trust, you need to earn it. Forgiveness doesn't have to be earned, but trust has to be earned. What about trusting God? There are many people walking this earth today who are very angry at God, who have been very disappointed in God. They're bitterly disappointed in God, in religion, in church, in evangelicalism. And some want nothing to do with anything that reminds them of these. But the results of this distrust that is broken are terrible. Because God doesn't have to prove himself anymore. What we sang in this song, Jesus doesn't have to prove himself over and over to us. We can trust him. He has proven himself as trustworthy. He has given us his word. His word is fully trustworthy. You can trust the Bible. You can trust his promises. It's up to us whether we want to be skeptical, whether we want to be critical of his word or his ways and not trust him. But he is not threatened. You can doubt God's word all you want. You can criticize it. You can pull it apart. You can academically discredit God's word the way you want to. It doesn't change anything of the fact that you can fully trust God and his word. So I want to just go through these four headings of our text here. Because God is looking for followers, for Christ followers, who will trust him with their lives. Now, who do we trust with our lives? The Bible tells us here, trust the Lord with all your heart. That means we need to put our lives in his hands and risk it. Trust him that he will not destroy us. He will not throw us in hell. He will not do bad things to us. That's hard to believe sometimes. The call that we Christians have is to trust and prepare our lives that we can surrender, if you want to use that word, or like an offering that we just put our lives on God's altar and say, Lord, I trust you 100%. Simply believing in God is not good enough. The Bible talks about faith, and the Bible talks about that we as God's people, as the righteous, shall live by faith. What does that mean? Well, we could have a lot of theological discussions about it. We could talk about faith all day long. Faith is a very broad concept. And it's hard to pin down exactly what faith means, because a lot of religions, they have all kinds of faiths. My faith is like this, and my faith is like this. So since it's hard to explain what faith is, let's take it from this angle of trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I think we understand what trust means. We trust people every day. I mean, you can't trust many things. As I said before, you can't trust technology. You can't always trust your computer. You can't always trust your car. Someone complained and said, when it was minus 36 degrees, my car ran fine. And then when it was plus 6 or minus 6, my car wouldn't start. You can't trust him. When we fly in a plane, we put tremendous trust in those pilots. We trust the airline that they have qualified pilots and not someone who is a wannabe that has snuck in and doesn't know what he or she is doing. We trust that the people that will fly us to a certain area, that they will do the right thing and they're not suicidal, hopefully. We trust the air traffic control people. We trust society in general for our general safety. What is the practical outworking of trust in our faith? It's when we trust God that we show our faith in him is real. That when we trust a promise that God has given us in his word and we trust the Lord himself. For example, I trust the Lord for my forgiveness. I know I have forgiveness because I have prayed. I've done what the Bible says. I've repented. I've done all this. And the Bible is true. And since I believe that the Bible is true, through that faith, I have been saved. Through that faith, I have been forgiven. So usually we wouldn't say we have a problem with that, right? But do we trust the Lord in our marriage, with our careers, with our very lives? Trust the Lord with all your heart. This includes the first commandment that is first and foremost, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus taught as the greatest commandment there is. Trusting the Lord includes that great commandment. Here it says, lean not on your own understanding. Trusting God means that we need to develop a distrust of our own understanding. And the older we get, the more we should distrust ourselves. Not that we should doubt ourselves and have no confidence, because the Bible says, Paul says, that our confidence comes from the Lord. So we need to be confident, yes. We need to be sure of our walk with God, but everything in the Lord, not out of our own understanding. In other words, the psalmist says, we don't know better than God. We don't know better than the Bible. You cannot throw the Bible away and say, I will reinvent my set of beliefs the way I want to, and I'll do much better than if we go by the Bible. The Bible says, no, don't rely on your own understanding. You know what? Because we are limited in our understanding. Why would we limit ourselves to just our own understanding? Why would we do that? That's foolish. And it's arrogant. So yeah, we sure are smart nowadays. I mean, we can multitask. We can text and drive. We can do all kinds of things at the same time. We're very efficient. We know what to do. We can handle so many things. We can do so many things. And yet, in God's eyes, we always fall short. The problem comes when we think that we know better than God. That is relying on our own understanding. In verse 7, in Proverbs chapter 2, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't ever think you've got it all together. Don't ever think, oh, I'm just so great. I'm just so, you know, that over 90%, I think it was over 90%, have not a low self-esteem. They think higher of themselves than what they really are. See, we can think we know better than God, but the reality is that, like Adam and Eve in the beginning, our wisdom and our understanding is weak, it is crooked, and it is unreliable. Our understanding is, like someone describes it, like a worm-riddled cane, walking stick. The worms have eaten it from the inside, and now you want to lean on your own understanding, and this walking stick just breaks and you fall over. That's our understanding. It's limited. It's worm-riddled. You know, when we want to show off our wisdom, it's kind of like a scientist. This is just a story. This is an illustration. A scientist said, oh, I can create a man. I can create things like God. And God said, okay, show me. And so the scientist wanted to grab some dirt. And God said, hey, wait a minute. You have to create your own dirt because that's mine. God created man out of the ground, the Bible says. The scientists wanted to create a tube from the dirt that God had made. We can only create something that's already there, in a sense, because we have to have the basics. God doesn't need the basics. He made the basics. And he has made us in his own image. And yes, he has made us creative. He wants us to be creative. But all our creativeness is very limited. And we need to realize that. Our understanding is limited. It has its limits. So I cannot even rely on my understanding of the scriptures. I cannot even rely on my understanding of theology. I have to rely on the Lord, not on theology. So we can learn from the lessons of King Solomon. King Solomon wrote these verses. Lean not on your own understanding. And I think later he had to, He had to eat his own words when he was old. You ever read the whole story of Solomon, this king that was the glorious, most glorious king in Israel? He started off brilliantly as a king. He was asking God for wisdom. And then he built a temple for him. This was the most marvelous building in his time. So Solomon had an obedient, wise heart. An obedient, wise heart is more important than a lot of knowledge. But then he began to think, I've reached all this glory. There's nowhere to go anymore. So he started to be smart in his own eyes. He unsurrendered, if you will, certain areas of his life that he had the attitude, well, this is not God's business, this is my own decision. He thought he knew better than God. He acquired an army for himself and imported horses from Egypt. Not that that was sin, but it was a slippery slope. He accumulated vast amounts of silver and gold, built himself a great palace, even better than the temple he had just built. And then came the wives. He took 700 women as his wives and 300 concubines, not porcupines. Those are concubines, okay? Concubines means you have a wife and you have an extra wife, and you had all these wives. He had 1,000 women available to him day and night. Was that wisdom? No, it was a direct violation of the laws for kings laid down in Deuteronomy chapter 17. He had overlooked that. Here's this wise king of Solomon. These wise verses we have in Proverbs. This wisdom, this wonderful, this glory. And yet God, in all his wisdom, shows us in his word, all of that shows us you cannot rely on your own understanding. If we start to take things into our own hands and we say, well, this area and that area, I won't surrender it to God, I will take that into my own hands, we will fall short. Solomon fell short at the end of his life. His women turned his hearts away from God, and he started to worship idols. Isn't that sad? The eventual result was that there was a split in Israel. Judah and Israel split, and it was the end of the glorious kingdom of Israel. And there were wars and wars for the longest time. A lot of backsliding took place among God's people as a result. So what is the alternative we have from leaning on our own understanding? It is that we come to God for all on our needs. And instead of leaning on our own understanding, we rely on God's truth. Proverbs 2 verse 6. The Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So we need to keep listening to God, not to our own instincts, not to our own gut feeling, but to listen to God's word. See, when our own thoughts, when our own gut feeling is against God's word, we shouldn't do it. That's where we should draw the line. Here is where I trust the Lord. Here is where, It goes against my human nature, but I know this is what God wants, this is what God's word says, and that's what I need to do. That's wisdom. Lean not on your own understanding. The third one is, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And the importance, the emphasis is put on acknowledging God. This includes a lot of things. In all your ways. A lot of times Christians have this dividing wall between what they see as their Christian lives and what they see as their non-Christian lives. They want to have this distinction between the sacred and the secular. And they believe that there is a divide. Like someone said once, I make a distinction between what I do as a businessman and what I do as a Christian. See, that's not trusting God. The so-called sacred secular divide is the assumption that God cares about my soul, yes. God cares if I'm in church on Sunday morning, yes. But what I'm doing on Monday morning and the rest of the week is none of God's business. That's my own business. And that is not acknowledging God in all our ways. Acknowledging God is not the assumption that God cares about whom I give my money to, but doesn't care about where I earn or how I earn my money. Or the assumption that God cares about whether I go to church, but doesn't care how I live at home. Or the assumption that God cares about that I read the Bible, but what kind of entertainment I use, how I entertain my mind and my emotions, my soul during the week, that's none of God's business. That's off limits. See, God doesn't want this secular, sacred divide. That's created by humility. When we believe God, when we trust him with all our hearts, we need to acknowledge him in all our ways. It says all. We all make sometimes these assumptions that God cares about my sin, but he wouldn't care about if I have a toothache. Of course he cares. And I think sometimes we make all kinds of assumptions, and these assumptions can lead us away from trusting God and can hinder us from acknowledging God. And one of the things, too, that is very important in acknowledging God, meaning that we are thankful in all things, that's acknowledging God. Should we pray for every meal that we eat? Well, yeah, that's a good thing to do, acknowledging that God has provided. We should be thankful for everything God blesses us with. Even those dark valleys that sometimes are so uncomfortable and very difficult to live by or live through. This call here in our text is to take every part of our lives, every minute, every day of our lives, and acknowledge that all is part of our journey with God. We don't live apart from God during the night. We don't live apart from God during Mondays or Friday nights or Saturday nights. No. In all your ways, acknowledge him. How do we acknowledge him? Being thankful. And also, the things that worry us should not be different than the things we pray about. And we should never have the attitude, well, Lord, I will give you these and these and these things. I have these and these requests. But here I really have a problem. but I don't want to talk to you about that. It just doesn't go away. I won't trust you for it. Loved ones, sometimes it's very difficult to watch. And you watch how a marriage just falls apart right in front of your eyes. And it's just getting worse and worse. And you think, what are they going to do about this marriage? What are they going to do about this relationship? And they do nothing year after year. And they live miserable and miserable. And finally, it breaks up and it's all over. That's not trusting God. It's not committing all our ways to Him. Do you worry about money? Do you rarely pray about it? You think God is interested in money and how, you know, our expenses and income is? Of course He is. In fact, the Bible speaks a lot about money. If you really think about stewardship, how much does the Bible talk about that? Should we pray about it? Of course. In Philippians chapter 4, we read, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. How much does that include? In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Here you have it. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. Lean not on your own understanding, but on the peace of God. It's more important. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The fourth one is a wonderful promise that God gives us here through this text. He will make your paths straight. Will He cause it to make sense to us all the time? Maybe not. But I believe this is a wonderful, encouraging promise. If we trust Him with all our hearts, we lean not on our own understanding, we commit all our ways to Him. In all our ways, we seek God's face in every the little details of our lives. Then we have this encouraging promise. He will get you through. He will lead you through every path, every obstacle, or around every obstacle that is in your path. This is a promise of joy and peace in His presence for all eternity. That is the result of trusting God. Jesus said this, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. You don't have to trust God when you're on the broad way, because everything has room in the broad way. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Why did Jesus say that? Does He mean that you and I can't find it? No, but only few will find it. This is why I think people say we Christians are narrow-minded, because we're on the narrow way. No, we limit ourselves because we don't want to be weighed down by other things. We don't want to rely on our own understanding. We commit all our ways to Him, and God makes a way where there is no way. God opens doors when there are no doors open. And it is appropriate to pray, Lord, close the wrong doors for me and open the right ones. We should never forget that. This also tells us that we need to be prepared to go where the Lord leads. That is making the path straight. And this is wonderful that we know we get bombarded and there's many obstacles, many distractions that want to come our way, but we focus on God, we trust Him with all our hearts, and then we can say, no matter what, I will not be distracted from this one thing. God wants to teach me how to walk in His ways. And as you get closer to a thing, you know, when you look at the Christian life and you look at the long haul, you can be scared because you don't know what's ahead of you. There may be a lot of bends in the roads. But if you look one day at a time, your path becomes clear, because God's word is a light on our path, right? He illuminates our path, and we can see where we're going. We can see where things can lead to. If we go to this side, we know that we'll get into darkness. If we go to that side, we know we will also end up in darkness. And so we go in the light. We walk in the light that God provides through his word. This is my prayer for all of us and for myself included. It is good that we read the biographies of Christians in past time. And I would like to encourage you, if you find a good book, a biography of a good man or woman of God. I remember when I was a young Christian, I was reading Elizabeth Zeiler. She was a missionary to China. And the miracles that she experienced, they helped me grow in my faith and my trust to God. And I always prayed then. I said, Lord, you've been with these and these people. Be with me too. Let me trust you with all my heart. Teach me to have a stronger faith. Now, if you read these biographies of men and women of God, they're very helpful in strengthening our faith. But above all, read the Bible. There's plenty of examples in there. As I said this morning about Peter, he was ready to give it up, ready to just pack it up and just say, no, I've had enough because I disappointed myself. I failed. But see, this is a good thing, that even if you have failed in the past, if you trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, maybe the reason we failed was that we leaned our we were depending on our own understanding. We were kind of doing our own little jig stuff. And God wants us to acknowledge him. Maybe we failed because we weren't grateful enough. Maybe we were too selfish. Maybe we were too desirous of things that God didn't really want to give us. And maybe that's why we failed. Then we need to learn from this and say, no, I want to do it with God. This time, this year, I want to do it right. I want to trust him fully. Not that we can't make mistakes. Oh, yes, we will. And God will allow us and teach us, continue to teach us every time we lean our own understanding and we get disappointed. But don't take it out on God, because he has the wisdom for us. He has a good return on our investment, if you will. He has eternal life for us. Let's not lose it. May God help us to trust him fully. Amen.